From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Do you remember the name of your childhood best friend? Turns out it's harder to initiate those solid bonds of friendship as we grow older. Dr. Andrea Bonnier, clinical psychologist and advice columnist, explains why and says the feeling is universal.
In reality, most adults struggle at some point with not feeling like they have enough friends, so it's very common.
Plus, Carolyn Walton Lynch tells us about Mixolo, a service that helps individuals, regardless of their relationship status, step out on the town and find community.
You might want to take in that event and experience, but you're hesitant because of the stigma, real or imagined, of arriving on your own.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning. I'm producer Melissa Gear in for Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. When was the last time you made a new friend or spent face-to-face time with an old one? It may sound silly, but making and keeping friends throughout a lifetime is a skill that requires practice. If you don't invest the time and energy, just like anything, that skill can fade away. Later in the show, we'll meet the founder of Mixolo, an in-real-life social network that allows adults to step out solo and find community, regardless of relationship status. But first, we'll discuss some of the why and how behind adult friendship with clinical psychologist Dr. Andrea Bonnier. She teaches at Georgetown University, and you can read her advice in the Washington Post Express and Psychology Today, or participate in her weekly live online chat called Baggage Check. Bonnier also wrote the book, The Friendship Fix, the complete guide to choosing, losing, and keeping up with your friends. Welcome to On the Record, Andrea.
Thanks for having me.
Why does it get harder and sometimes even awkward to make friends as an adult?
You know, when we're younger, we have that natural proximity to people. We go to school with the same kids. We eat lunch with them. They're in our neighborhood. And in college, if we've gone there, it's the same way. We have meals with people. We're constantly surrounded by people that are in our same life stage and where there are natural things that we have in common. So we've got those communities just by default, and we didn't really have to put so much effort into them. But when we get older, those communities start to dwindle away. We have maybe our workplace, but that could be, you know, a mixed bag in terms of whether we actually want to spend time with those folks. A lot of us don't know our neighbors anymore, and so it's suddenly not that uncommon to be in a place and feel like, wow, I really don't know anyone, or I really haven't cultivated any friendships locally, and to start to feel pretty isolated.
And what do you recommend? I know you have a private practice. What do you recommend for people who struggle with making new friends?
Yeah, well, I think the first step is really to understand how common it is, because so many of us want to take it personally. You know, when we think about not having friends, it harkens back to those feelings of being left out at the lunchroom or having a clique excluding us in junior high. Whereas in reality, most adults struggle at some point with not feeling like they have enough friends. So it's very common, and you need to not take it personally, because when people start to think there's something wrong with them, then they're not as motivated to go out and solve the problem. They're more intimidated. So I say, view it as a numbers game. View it as something that you have to put effort into, and the more effort that you put into, the more likely that it will pay off. Not all friendships are going to, you know, take off right away, and it's going to take time, and you shouldn't take it personally when it does take time.
And what about maintaining existing friendships? Do you have recommendations about that?
Yes, I think that can be really tough, too, because we're all so busy, right? And we might be connected, quote-unquote, on a superficial level, so we feel like these people are still in our lives, but we feel lonely because we don't really feel like we're truly connected to them emotionally. And so this takes effort, too, and I think, unfortunately, it falls by the wayside a lot because people feel like it might be selfish to put forth time to their friendships, especially if they're caregivers, if they're raising children, if they're caring for elderly parents. They might be so slammed in their jobs that they feel like they're slackers if, you know, they go home at a decent hour to go to a happy hour with somebody. So I think, you know, we have to tell ourselves that this is something that really is worthwhile for our well-being. And we have to reach out to those people that mean something to us and put forth some effort there, making plans, checking in, having a real conversation. You know, otherwise, a lot of these friendships sort of die, and some are meant to die naturally, but the ones that we care about and that can help nourish us, it's really important that we keep them going.
Well, and I read some of your columns, and there's something that you talk about. It's the consistency, even small things.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. It's all about consistency. And I think those sort of, you know, day to day or week to week, hey, how's it going? Those kind of check-ins are what keep you feeling like you're actually involved in the other person's life. And I think the problem is when we do fall away for a while, we feel like we have to put forth this big, grandiose effort, right? Like, oh my goodness, I owe this person a big, long email catching up, or we have to go to a 3-hour dinner so we can both hear about exactly what's going on in each other's lives. And this becomes so intimidating that we don't do anything at all. And I think that's the biggest problem. So then people mm-hmm. fade away because they already feel guilty that they kind of dropped off the planet. And so then they drop off the planet further. So even if you're in the midst of a really busy time, you know, it is better to send one line than nothing at all. And just those little check-ins here and there, of course, technology can make this easier. As many drawbacks as technology might have in this arena, it can make it easier to just occasionally check in. Hey, I'm thinking of you, you know, send a text. I know that we haven't talked for a while. I would love to catch up soon, but just know that this made me laugh today and it made me think of you.
That's psychologist, advice columnist, and author Dr. Andrea Bonnier. We're talking about the challenges of making new friends as an adult and ways to maintain the friendships you already have. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm producer Melissa Gear in for Sheila Cast. Why is it important to have friends? I know that sounds kind of like a crazy question, but, you know, you think, what does friendship provide that maybe a spouse or a significant other or family member can't give you?
Yeah, you know, the data is so interesting about this because I think a lot of us do view it as a luxury, and we don't really realize that it is tremendously important for our physical and mental health. We know that strong relationships, they boost our immune system, they increase our longevity, they, you know, help us recover from trauma more quickly, they make us less likely to become depressed. And so this is a real health issue as I look at it. We know that loneliness really kills. So it's not just that we have to have a lot of friends, it's that we have to feel like our relationships actually support us and nourish us, no matter whether we need to have 3 close friends or 8 close friends. And I think what we know most of all is that if we're relying only on a significant other, solely a partner or spouse for all of our social interaction, that doesn't seem to be associated with high well-being, because it's almost like you're putting all your eggs in one basket and you're missing the added perspective and experience and stress relief that another person can bring.
What if you don't have a best friend? Asking that question reminds me of, you know, grade school, but I cringe a little bit about it, probably residual things. Is there something wrong with you if you don't have a best friend?
Not at all. You know, this whole BFF culture, it's so interesting because I think it really ignores the fact that for plenty of us, it doesn't make sense that there's just one person. You know, I don't think that it means anything wrong or pathological if you don't necessarily have that one person. Now, plenty of people do, and I think that can be a wonderfully intimate experience. But in reality, a lot of people might sort of have a trusted circle of folks, and maybe they're made up of a combination of friends and family, or maybe you consider your partner your best friend, but you also have a strong circle of some additional friends. I think it comes in all shapes and sizes, but it definitely doesn't have to look a certain way.
There is an assumption out there that men don't have a lot of friends or don't need them. I mean, are the ideas that you're talking about, does it go across genders?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because some of the most long-standing research on the benefits of relationships, that research was performed solely on men. It was the Harvard Grant experiment that started in the 30s, and they followed these men for decades and decades. So interestingly enough, we know that the health benefits of friendship absolutely apply to men. We know that the emotional intimacy that comes from good friendship, we know that men need that too very much. Sadly, I feel like our culture doesn't allow for that so much. I feel like we tend to make fun of, you know, a bromance or men who are overtly expressive in their affection for their friends, male bonding. You know, we kind of make it hard for these guys to hang out with each other and really get something out of it. And men do tend to hang out a little differently. They tend to, you know, we call it sort of shoulder-to-shoulder friendships rather than face-to-face. They tend to maybe engage in activities together more so than like, oh, let's just get coffee and talk. But I think we do men a real disservice when we imagine that friendship is primarily a woman's issue or that it's mainly that that women need friends, because truthfully, I've worked with a lot of men who feel lonely, and I've worked with a lot of women who say, oh my goodness, you know, my husband has me, and I really don't think that's enough. I want to set him up on play dates or whatever because he seems lonely. I know he needs more, and I can't 100% always be his sole emotional support. So I think this is something that we really need to talk about more in terms of men.
What do you tell a person to do to go out and meet some new people?
Yeah, so they need sort of a specific game plan. And I find that for most people, it's not the meeting people that's tricky, it's the turning an acquaintanceship into a friendship. So with that, I always advise people, you know, you've got to nudge towards slightly more personal conversations. You've got to get out of that small talk zone every single week at preschool pickup talking about the weather with this other mom that you really like. And you've got to ask slightly more personal questions, you know, not intrusive questions, of course, but you've got to remember the answers, too, and you've got to share things about yourself. You know, I also recommend, it's a little bit of a way of cheating the system, but being that it can be so awkward to sort of ask someone out platonically, I recommend, you know, getting two tickets to something, and maybe there's a coworker that you'd love to hang out with after work. And you can fib and you can say, you know, near the last minute, like, oh, turns out I have this extra ticket. Would you want to come with me? And it's funny how that makes it so much less intimidating, because I think it can be so awkward. You know, people say, well, at least with dating, there's kind of a script, right? With with friendship, it's almost like, oh, my goodness, what are we doing here? Am I a stalker? You know, so if you create the environment where you can hang out with this person and there's low pressure because you're making it a casual thing, like, oh my goodness, I have this extra ticket. And that alone can help push people over the barrier, because then it doesn't feel so awkward, like, oh, I'm suggesting we go to concert together, you know? And that works pretty well. I mean, you would be amazed at how many people have tried that, and they're like, it got them over the barrier, and then we ended up hanging out. You know, I do think technology with texting and stuff, if you do exchange numbers for even a logistical reason at first, like, oh, you know, this person's going to text me the name of that air conditioning repairman, but now we have each other's numbers, so now occasionally I text her funny things, and now it's grown into a friendship. It's that continuity and sort of nudging it out of the small talk zone by really building upon something that you've already talked about.
Thank you so much, Andrea, for your comments and talking us through this. Thanks.
My pleasure.
That's clinical psychologist, advice columnist, and author Dr. Andrea Bonnier. She's the voice behind the Washington Post Express column and live online chat called Baggage Check. I'm producer Melissa Geer, in for Sheila Cast. This is On the Record. Short break, and then we'll learn about a mobile app for solos who want to go out and find friends. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm producer Melissa Gear in for Sheila Cast. We're talking about the challenges of making friends as an adult. We spoke earlier with clinical psychologist Dr. Andrea Bonnier about ways to make new friends and keep the old ones. Now we'll hear about a mobile app called Mixolo. Its founder, Carolyn Walton Lynch, wants to make sure you never miss an event just because you're alone. And she's here to tell us about it. Welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell us, what is Mixolo? What is it? How does it work?
Well, first, what's in a name? We created Mixolo. We put together the words mix plus solo and formed the word Mixolo. So we're a going out app, no plus one required. Essentially, we create events and experiences for people who are going out solo who might prefer a shared experience when they arrive.
So the app is free. People pay for events through the app.
App is free. And the events are listed in the app. Sometimes there's a fee and sometimes the events are free.
Okay. And so what does that mean? You're helping people go out who are by themselves?
Well, sometimes we opt out when we don't have a plus one. And we'd like people to opt in and go out with Mixolo, go out solo, and find their plus some.
And so what happens when someone who signs up for an event through Mixolo arrives at the event? Walk me through that.
People know that when they arrive, they'll be able to connect and engage with other solos who are on their own who might want to share the experience. So we create a space for them. It may be assigned seats in a theater. It could be a community table at a restaurant. We help them with that awkward feeling you sometimes feel when you arrive alone, and they are welcomed and connected when they arrive.
And connected just do you have icebreakers and things like that?
Sure. We have a way for them to get to know each other. It could be name tags. It could be sharing zip codes. Sometimes when we do events, we actually create zip codes and people can connect whether they work in that area or live in a certain area. We might ask them for a favorite beer at a brew walk, and they can list their favorite beer. And it creates conversation.
Oh, so something like that's put on a name tag or something.
It could be put on a name tag, exactly.
Okay.
Or the event itself lends itself to connection. It could be a cooking event where they're required to work together.
Okay.
So we make sure that they're connected. We asked our host as well to ensure that the guests have a place to connect.
Solo, in this case, doesn't mean necessarily single. This isn't
No.
a dating app necessarily.
No, it's not a dating app or a meetup. And it's regardless of relationship status. We can find ourselves navigating solo for whatever reason. And you might want to take in that event and experience, but you're hesitant because of the stigma, real or imagined, of arriving on your own.
I think I was at an event recently where there were mixed solo guests, in fact, and a woman was there who, I think her kids were at home with her husband, but she came to the event
yes.
by herself, but knew that she could show up and kind of be with this group of people and not feel alone.
Yes. So we have members who are married as well. Sometimes your partner may not want to do that particular event and you still want to do it and you prefer that shared experience. And it's nice to turn to someone who you know is open to connecting and say how much you're enjoying an event or not, and have a way to share that experience. And we book with all kinds of hosts and venues. It's just about going out and not hesitating when you want to do that thing.
That's Carolyn Walton Lynch, founder of Mixolo, the mobile app for people who are going out solo and want to meet up with others. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm producer Melissa Gear in for Sheila Cast. How did you get the idea to start this?
What do they say?
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Exactly. I recently moved to Baltimore. Well, not recently. I moved in 2016. It's my first city experience. I had been going through a lot of life transitions, divorce, work, everything. I found myself in a new city, although still in Maryland, and I looked around and my social circle had dwindled. Mm-hmm. I had connected around my kids. I had connected around being coupled. of my work and all of those things. And I love to go out. I'm pretty comfortable on my own. But I came across an experience that I really wanted, and I opted out. Mm-hmm. The very thing I asked my members not mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. And it was an opera. It was at the Kennedy Center. I just moved to the city, and I made every excuse not to go. It was expensive. It was a long commute, 15-hour opera. So wow. I couldn't convince anyone to go with me.
Yeah.
No one else was interested.
That would be a commitment.
Yes, that's a commitment. But I really wanted a shared experience. Now, that particular opera is very rare, and it comes around maybe once a decade in a region. And I opted out. But serendipitously, I was at a party in Baltimore. It was a restaurant opening, and I met a banker who happened to be an opera singer on the side.
Oh, my gosh.
It turned out he was in the chorus of this production.
This is the Ring Cycle.
Yes, the Ring Cycle. Okay. So I told him my story that I had opted out, and he scolded me, of course. And he said that he had observed that there were four people who had come on their own, and the opera was spread over 3 weeks, four productions. Mm-hmm. By the fourth production, they had not only bonded with each other, they had bonded with the cast. And I thought to myself, if I had gone,
right,
I would have found my tribe. So I thought to myself, I can't be the only one doing this. I started canvassing friends and family about whether or not they did this thing. And it was pretty, everyone else was doing the same thing. Not always. I mean, it's cool to go solo, but often they found that there were certain experiences they wanted to share. So I decided to test the idea in the Baltimore market.
That was how long ago?
That was 2.5 years ago.
Oh,
I launched on Valentine's Day and just called out for people to sign up for this virtual Valentine's Day party. No plus one required. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, people were signing up for Mixolo. Right. And of course, I had no product, no events. So I thought I better go secure some events.
Yeah. So what are they? Tell me about some
of the all kinds of events. I mean, there's no shortage of event ideas. It's anything you want to do to have fun, or if you're seeking out enriching activities, from theater productions to chef's tables to outdoor adventure. We've done it all, biking tours. We just did a brew walk of Hamden.
Oh, wow.
So the idea is just helping people find other people who are interested in that particular thing they want to do and connecting them.
So other people listening might be thinking about this too. How is this different than meetups?
Well, first of all, any organized get together could be called a meetup. That's a clever choice of words. But we actually operate based on events. So we book events as opposed to creating a club or group around a specific interest.
Right.
We actually create events. So people connect first at an event. Mm-hmm. And the profiles are private. I really wanted an alternative to dating apps and Meetup, where people sort of look at the people before they go to see if they want to go. With Mixolo, the default is that profiles are private.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know who you're going out with.
Oh.
Of course, we book only with established venues so that people feel some degree of safety. But not until after you've met in person do you see a profile. And if you connected with that person, you can certainly connect with them again. And we hope people expand their community around these interests.
I would imagine on the flip side, too, some of the venues you're going to, this is great for them as far as filling seats.
Absolutely.
Or, yeah.
Solos want to go out and they want to fill seats without stigma. And, you know, some of these venues are struggling to fill seats. And this is a guest that they might be overlooking. In fact, it's a growing segment of our population. The example just being singles in the U.S., they're now a third of the entire U.S. population, singles that are adults.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a trend. The population is changing.
You're really tapping into something here, then.
Yes.
Is Mixolo only in Baltimore? Are you know, can I download the app and then maybe I go to New York for the weekend and see if there's something happening there? How does that work?
That is our goal.
Okay.
Our
goals
beta,
are good.
Yes. Our beta market has been the Baltimore region. We are just starting to look at other markets, D.C., Northern Virginia, and New York, and we just held our inaugural events there.
What is your advice for someone who might be listening, you know, regardless of their relationship status? What would you tell them to if they still feel strange about wanting to go to something by themselves?
Well, I get that sometimes where people are still have that sense of stranger danger, but we're all grown-ups now. We're not only on dating apps dating strangers, we're sleeping with them as well on Airbnb. We're in their homes.
Okay.
You know, it's not a new concept. We're riding with them. Mixolo is much like an Uber now. We're trying to match the guest with a ready host. And at this point, we're only working with established venues. So far, the people that are coming are amazing. In fact, it's really, the demographic is so broad, and they're just busy professionals that like the idea of having a social calendar.
That is great. It sounds wonderful. I will definitely have to check it out.
Thank you. I hope so.
Thank you for coming and explaining it all.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for having me.
That's Carolyn Walton Lynch, founder of Mixolo, a going-out app for individuals, regardless of relationship status, to find community around shared interests. We have a link to more information at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. On the Record's director and engineer is Nathan Sterner. Maureen Harvey and I, Melissa Gear, produce the program, and I'm also sitting in today for our host, Sheila Cast. John Ahrens wrote and recorded the On the Record theme music, and Izzy Hedelman is our intern. Thanks for listening to On the Record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!